It's just write the book that you have in your brain and in your heart. And I think that's the best thing you can do, because if it's something that you're passionate about, everyone else will be passionate about it too.
Hi, I'm Ebony, and I believe that stories change lives, and everyone has a story worth telling. Sometimes, unfortunately, we let our self-doubt get in the way of us writing our stories and sharing our stories. So that's why I created Motivation to Write as a source of motivation and inspiration to help writers like you and me share our stories with the world. So I talk to the experts ranging from entrepreneurs to marketers to authors to therapists to psychologists who share their knowledge and their advice to help writers like you and me step into our full potential.
Hannah LaRue is a publicist and digital marketer who helps artists share their work with the right audience. As a major in psychology, Hannah loved storytelling. After college, she pursued a career in publishing where she fused her talent for creating memorable experiences with her knack for connecting people. Her PR firm, Spellbound PR, makes compelling storytelling campaigns to reach target markets.
Hannah LaRue, this is so exciting because we met through Noah Ronan, yes. And you are a publicist and publicist and digital marketer,
yes,
for artists of all kinds, really.
Yep.
Not just authors, but photographers.
Yeah, a lot of different people. It's kind of a very wide range, I always say. I'm like the creative spectrum.
Yeah, okay. So are you an artist yourself?
I kind of like to think so. I don't know. I haven't had a whole lot of time, I feel like, to write lately, but that was always kind of my dream, was to be a writer. And then I just sort of got into this instead. So it's like sharing my stories, but then other people's too. So
right. Yeah. Now, I know that you were at one point, you served as an editor. You've also served as a PR specialist and a marketer. So I kind of want to get a little background as to how you got into this industry of publishing, really. Did you major in publishing? I just realized, Hannah, that that's a thing. I didn't even know that there was a major in publishing, but I was talking to someone that got their master's in publishing.
I'm learning that literally right now, so I had no idea. Where do you go to do that?
I forgot what university she graduated from, but yeah, she got a master's in publishing. I was like, really? That's a thing. That's so cool. Okay. Yeah. So that was not your major.
No, that was not my major. I wish it was, kind of, now, because I love it. It's a great career path. But no, I was actually a psych major to start out with, which is kind of crazy. I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm interested in the mind. Let's see how this goes. I was super fascinated by that. It lasted for a year. And I was like, no, I think I'm going to do film studies now. So I transferred, because I started out at ECU in Greenville, and I transferred to UNCW and did a victory lap in the film studies department. And then I switched again with my last year into communication studies and took one PR class. I was like, I love this. This is great. So it was a PR case studies class. And a big focus was, writing case studies, kind of studying PR campaigns and really like disaster PR, which was kind of fun to me at the time. I was like, this would be really kind of cool, something different. And then I quickly realized, I'm like, this is kind of a more negative part of PR, so I don't know about this. So let me see. So then I jumped back. I graduated with a PR or communications degree with a focus in PR. But then when I graduated, I got a job in editing. So it was kind of like, and I think I always think of it like, okay, well, what's the common denominator here? Was that it was all about storytelling for me.
Yes.
Even with psych, it was like, still with that, it was still human stories that I was interested in, like the human experience. Like I wanted to understand that more. And then with film studies, I wanted to write movies. And then I wanted to write, PR documents, like spin stories for people or artists or whatever it was, anything storytelling. So I think that was, for me, like the big thing. I was like, okay, I know I want to do something with storytelling, clearly, because that seems to be the one common thing here. Mm-hmm. And so I got a job in technical editing for a company in Cary. And so I was doing a lot of editing scientific journals, actually, which is totally different.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I mean, it was great, but it was good because I was able to sort of get into the nuts and bolts of writing. So that was super helpful for me just for my career now, because now that I'm marketing, and that was a different genre, of course, but it was just, I kind of know how to look at writing in a very nuts and bolts, specific, hardcore editing.
Scientific way.
This needs more commas. No, it's more X and Y. No, whatever. But no, I'm just, it was, yeah. So I was doing that. But then I also, when I graduated from college, and I've been doing this for about 9 years in addition to, like, I've always had kind of a full-time job and a side hustle with the PR stuff. So even when I was doing the technical editing, I was working as an assistant for a publicist. So I was kind of doing all at once, and it was just me and her working on like 20 different projects together, like that, just the two of us. So we were spread out on this giant table. I remember we had all these different books and author projects laying there, and we're like, all right, do you want to take these 10 and I'll take these 10? Wow. And that was in addition to my editing job. So it was kind of cool because I was able to sort of like see the industry from multiple different angles. It was just like, okay, from the author standpoint, from an editor standpoint, from publicist standpoint, like just different things. And so from that, I've worked in a lot of different, I've worked with advertising agencies after that. Then I worked for the newspaper in Charleston, the Post and Courier. So that was more of the media side of it. So it's kind of like, I don't know, I have a really weird background, honestly. I'm like, traveled a lot in the world of publishing, I guess. But
yeah, I love this because I love how you started out as a psychology major.
Yeah.
That's so, because I've often wondered, like, what do people who major in psychology do? I mean, I know you can be a psychologist, but that you have to have a master's or PhD, right? To do that. And so it's so interesting how we can major in one, like I majored in music, and you know, I'm not teaching music anymore, but it's just so interesting how you could start off studying one thing and it can lead you to something that you never thought would even relate to that, you know?
Oh, absolutely. It's weird. And yeah, it's like, you look back on your history. I feel like sometimes I do that all the time. And I'm just like, how did I get here?
Yes. Yes. So take us into like a typical day as a PR, as a public relations, or no, publicist. Wait, yeah. Okay. Tell me, what's the difference between a PR specialist and a publicist?
Honestly, I mean, okay, I would say not a whole lot. It's kind of just like, I think there's more just different types of PR. You know, if you're if you're obviously a publicist for like a musician or something, like what I do as for author, like creative people, my main goal is to get them publicity, right? So I'm looking for media placements, I'm trying to get events, like get them out into the world, basically. I always think of myself as kind of like, I've got the story and I'm kind of rocket launching it into the world. That's sort of like what I do. But there's all sorts of, there's like damage control PR. So, you know, if you're working for a big corporation or something like that, and you're trying to maintain their image, their public image, that sort of thing. But there's not a whole lot of difference between publicity. I mean, I actually, when I was trying over the last like decade, really, it's like I've tried really hard to kind of see what I wanted to call myself, because originally I was like, I'm a communications specialist, I'm a project special, whatever. And then I just now accepted, I'm like, you know what, I'm just going to call it what it is and say I'm a publicist. But I think there's also sort of a negative connotation on a publicist sometimes, I think. They're like, oh, I don't want to deal. I know that just from working for media outlets and as a publicist, it's like, I know they hate us, right? So they're like, gosh, this publicist won't leave me alone, because that's essentially my job, is to bother people, right? I'm like, this is a great book, put it in your paper, stuff like, whatever. But so there's different, not a whole lot of difference.
Yeah, you know what? That's so funny, because now that you mentioned how sometimes there can be some negative connotations attached with publicists, I think of I Love Lucy of all shows. Where, you know, they would do all these publicity stunts just to get attention and you know, for Ricky and whatever. And so, yeah, I understand how some people would hear the word publicist and automatically think, oh my God.
For sure. And I think they all think we're just kind of like lying. I mean, now I'm pretty established, and like, I think I've kind of, you know, my contacts know that I'm not going to send them something that doesn't fit, or it's not like a good project or something like that. But in the beginning, it's like when I was just getting started out, you know, I was 20 years old and like, I didn't know what I was doing. I thought I did at the time. I was like, well, because I was working with you know, a really well-established publicist, and she definitely knew what she was doing, but I was just learning, you know, I was kind of just like following her lead, and I didn't totally know, and no one knew who I was. So anything I was pitching was kind of just like, I don't know, whether it was good or not, thrown in the trash sometimes. So now, because I think it's just like, and like I said, just knowing people that work for outlets and working for one myself now, it's like, I have seen really terrible pitches, like really bad pitches that wouldn't be good fits. So I think that they're all just kind of apprehensive. They see, you know, a PR email address and they're like, oh great, another press release, like stuff like that.
Right. So why, tell us, Hannah, why should an artist, an author, specifically, let's talk about authors, why should an author have a publicist or public relations
person? Yeah, specialist, yeah.
Yes, specialist, public relations specialist, yeah.
Well, you know, I think what it comes down to is having someone in your corner. I always think, too, being a publicist is, I mean, yeah, I my job is definitely to raise awareness for you and your work. But it's also like, I feel like a therapist sometimes, you know what I mean? Mm. Like you're like definitely a hype man. You're definitely a hype man. So I guess that's also how the psychology ties in there a little bit, that sort of initial career jump for me. But I think the big thing is, well, number one, you have someone in your corner hyping you up all the time, because it is hard being a writer, as you know, are you a writer too?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. Right. So, I mean, as you know, right? So it's like, it's kind of hard sometimes, like getting your story out there. You're doing a lot of different things. Like just writing is a job. That's your full-time job. It's hard to do that, plus do marketing, PR, and get your image out there and all that kind of stuff. Right. So, I think with that said, it's kind of like having someone there pushing you to do your job, and then they'll do their job. So it's like, it's just like a team effort. I think that's the big thing. But then also, like, you know, you want a publicist that's well connected. So it's it's a lot easier to get your name out there, because you have someone that's like, does this all the time. I mean, like all day, every time I have kind of a discovery call with a new client, I'm like, well, they're like, well, do you do, like, are you just, do you know this person, or are you pitching? I'm like, I literally sit here all day and just pitch stuff. Like that is all I do. And it's fun for me, because I know it's just like, you're talking to friends really. Right. So I think like having for an author to say, like, I don't know, when you're looking for a publicist, you want somebody who is well-connected, number one, someone who's definitely motivational or kind of your hype person who really believes in your work, because that makes you feel good and drives you to do more, I think. And you have more time to write, mainly. So I would say those two things, that's kind of why. That's like, I would say anything I get like from my initial call with, you know, a possible author I'm going to bring on, they're always just like, I just want more time to write. Like that's kind of what it is. I want to get my name out there, but I also want to write, and I don't have time, enough time in the day to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I published a children's book like years ago in my late 20s, but I can like, it is, a lot of work to, first of all, just to write the damn book is work, right? and then all the things that go into in publishing it, like picking the cover. And then if you have illustrations, going over all the illustrations, working with an illustrator for the illustrations. And then you have to think of marketing the book on top of all of that, right? Booking yourself on a podcast. Yeah, it is a lot. So I can totally see why it would be a huge help to have a PR specialist such as yourself. Yeah,
sure. Definitely. Yeah. It's like you're, especially if you're self-publishing or you're working with an indie press and you are responsible for a lot more of that part of things, like the production side, right? Or like, you know, working with multiple people, like you said, the illustrators, like there's just a million people. It's hard to coordinate all of that. So it's definitely just like, it's huge.
Do publishers, do they look for, or let me, maybe that's not the right word. Do they prefer writers who already have like a platform?
So, it kind of just depends. Do you mean like trade publishers, like paying them right now and stuff like that? If they, what did you say before that? They prefer if you have what?
If you already have a platform, like you already have a blog, you already, you have like a big following on social media.
Yeah. Yep. I would say for sure. Yeah. It's like, it takes a lot. I mean, and even, the big thing for trade publishing is you have to have an agent. I mean, it's really tough to get into a trade publisher if you do not have an agent.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure, you know, as you know, it's like very, getting an agent's hard.
Yes.
So it's like pitching to agent. It's like a multi-step process to get in with something like that. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, getting an agent is a lot easier if you have a platform, because it just shows, and I know for a fact, it's like when big publishers are sending or choosing their authors, because they're going to send you on tour, do all that kind of stuff. If you don't have a certain kind of social media following, you're not trying. That's definitely, you know, they want you to try at least a little bit. So it definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I self-published my children's book, and even working with that particular publisher, they were like, yeah, you need a platform. I mean, that's,
yeah.
You can get started on that like right now. So yeah. Okay. That, and so I know, cause I was looking at your blog, and I noticed you wrote a post on authors' websites and how important that is.
Oh, yeah.
Every author have a website. Can you tell us like why that's so important?
Well, I mean, to me, I think it's like your front door. If you don't have one, it just, you know,
how
people find out where you're going to be next or when your next book comes out or anything like that. And to me, it's also like a super easy way. It's like a one-stop shop. So if you're an author and you don't, because I have several authors over the years who just don't want to do social media, right? Like that's just not what they're interested in doing, because it is a time suck. It's something that you have to focus a lot on. And if you're not focusing on it or maintaining that presence, it's not going to do anything for you. So, and I always say too, it's like with that kind of thing, don't put your time into it if you're not going to use it. A website is equally as great sometimes. If you're not, I mean, you know, I'm a digital marketer, so I'm always like social media, but I think like having a website is more important, because you can manipulate the SEO, get into search engine results. Like, I mean, it's about searchability. That's what it's about. So I think like if you're not online with a website, it's just kind of, and I can say just firsthand working with bookstores on book events, for example, they're always like, send me your website link, your social media handles, stuff like that. If I was to go back to them and say, you know, this author doesn't have a website, they would be like, what?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of maybe the apprehension for some authors, because I think most authors do have websites, but for those that are a bit apprehensive about it, is it like the maintenance? Like I have to keep up a website? Like I have to, is that something you have to, should you be posting on your website regularly or?
Yeah. And I think it's just like any digital stuff can be scary sometimes to get involved in for some authors. Just because I think a lot of writers, and this isn't everybody, but a lot of them are really kind of like quieter people, don't really like self-promotion. That's always kind of been hard for them. And they're just kind of like, well, I don't really want to toot my own horn on my website or maintain a blog or anything like that. I want to write my book. And so I think, and plus the process, I think the idea of it is overwhelming sometimes, where they're like, oh, I have to build a website or I have to find and pay someone to build a website. Like that's a big part of it too.
Yeah.
It's just like, but the good news is, and I can't remember if I put this in the post, but I should have. If not, you know, there's so many great platforms now that are kind of more user friendly, like Squarespace or Wix and stuff like that, where it's a lot easier and quicker to build the site, which is awesome, because it's not going to be this whole, because I think in the past it was just sort of like, build a WordPress site and you have to do all of this crazy stuff coding on the back end, which I actually taught myself how to do that, because I didn't before Squarespace or anything that like that was super huge. I was just like, well, I feel like it's important to know how to do this, because having a website, it's like everything, you know, to me, I think it's like super important, because you can run emails through that and stuff. So it's like, once I did do that though, I kind of got more why authors were like, I don't really want to do this, because it is a lot of work if you're doing the crazy hard ones.
And you mentioned emails. So, and that is part of the website, right? Having some type of email list.
Yeah, like a CRM tool. So it's basically, and it depends on, with any kind of platform, you can always add a plugin or something like that that has emails going out through your website. But I always use, and so I now at this point in my career or in life, I always recommend any author using Squarespace or Wix, because they almost, I would say 99.9% of them don't want to maintain it. They just kind of want something that, you know, I'll update from time to time, or you know, somebody, whoever they have build it, will update it from time to time, and do their SEO, because as long as it's in the SEO, it's like, that's what you need. And then with that, a email, a CRM tool, a customer relations management database tied into the website, so you can operate all your email campaigns with through your website. So that's kind of why it's cool that it's sort of like a one-stop shop. So if you're on Squarespace, for example, I'll just use that one. You have your website built, you use a cool template, your brand looks awesome. I would also say too, just a side note, if you're ever looking for like inspiration, or writers are looking for inspiration for like what they want their brand to be, just go to Squarespace or Wix and look at their templates. I mean, and just stick with it. I mean, they have really smooth stuff on there. Mm-hmm. And it's easy, and it's just great. So I always, with Squarespace, if I'm doing like a email through the platform, I'll just go on there, and there's like an email marketing tool. You go on there, create the email, and import your list of contacts, and you start a newsletter. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, mm-hmm. You can tie it all together. So it's kind of a little bit easier.
So, okay. You mentioned social media. I know that's like your jam. So how, because I'm on Twitter, and I've noticed authors are so frustrated on Twitter. They're like, is anyone even paying attention to my post? No one's buying my book. I feel like I'm investing way too much time in posting here. No one seems interested. How can authors effectively use social media?
That's an awesome question. And I think it's a really long answer. So Twitter specifically, I'll start with that. Like, I mean, I think Twitter is good for certain things, like current events, like, because, you know, it's very news focused. It's online. Like, I check it at least a couple times a day, just so, I mean, from my standpoint, I just want to know what's going on in the industry. So I think it's great to stay informed. And I don't know if you're familiar with like the writing community hashtag. So the hashtag writing community and stuff like that. And, you know, you go on there and you think, oh, wow, this is great. There's a million people using this hashtag. This is awesome. But is it really effective? Not really. I mean, honestly, like, and I'm sure you've experienced that where, it's, you know, you're putting that hashtag on things. And I mean, yeah, it's great to have a group of people to come together and talk about writing for sure. But is it actually worth your time in generating sales? Because you probably have a writing community in your life, right? So, I would say Twitter for writers, I wouldn't focus too much on that. I think once you've got a huge, like, I mean, because if you follow Stephen King is one of my favorite writers on Twitter. He's hilarious. He's so crazy and psychotic. I mean, he's just like an interesting person. He's funny.
He is.
He's really funny. Yeah, he's just nuts. And so he's got a huge following, though. He's got shows coming out the, Wazoo, like on TV. It's just he's established. So it's like, that's great for him. But I think if you're a writer that's starting out, like building your following base, I would start with Instagram or Facebook. And it's kind of tough too. I think like to make it work. So just to kind of circle back to your question, like how to use it effectively, you got to find where your audience is first. And I wouldn't say, like I said, Twitter, I would just kind of cut out of there if you're trying to build your following, because there's too much noise. There's too much noise. It's not worth it to try to weed through that. Facebook and Instagram obviously are like huge. There's so many people on both of those too, but it's a lot easier to kind of find your niche, I think. Facebook specifically has a lot of great groups. So private groups you can join. So writing groups, stuff like that, promotional groups, media placement groups. There's stuff where it's just like, you just got to do the research. Because I think the biggest mistake that people in general, like whether you're an author, artist, talker, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're trying to build a following for your business and you're going on Facebook and you're just kind of like posting things without doing any sort of engagement with other people or looking to see if you're, you know, in the right group or anything like that, you're just kind of like there posting things without trying to get the post in front of people. I think like, and there's two ways you can build social media following. It's like you can do it organically and or with paid advertising. And like a lot of people hate this when I say this, but you kind of got to spend some money. You got to spend some money to make some money. So, and I think there's a lot of great resources out there too. Like the this is for self-published authors, specifically like the Mark Dawson's advertising courses. I'm sure you've heard of those. Like, you know, I've had several authors take those, love them. I mean, it's like a 37-part class. Yeah. And it's just, you know, you learn a lot about it. It's really overwhelming, and I get that. But even if you're boosting posts, like I love lead generation ads. So that kind of that back to your website. So that kind of, that's how all of this digital stuff ties together. So again, it's like, we could probably talk for hours about this, honestly. The in-depth social media stuff. But I think I would say my biggest piece of advice for building a following is just do the research. Make sure you're engaging with the right people, join Facebook groups, get the right hashtags on Instagram, you know, and that'll kind of get you somewhere.
So how, as someone who works in publishing, because I've heard it said that people are not some really buying the book, they're buying the author. Is that true?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, like, and I would say, and when it comes to, because you're not really, that's sort of the value of in-person events, right? Which is what we missed out on this last year, is it's like, you're it's less of selling your book and more of selling the experience of who you are. Because I mean, and I think I always say it's like when you're, it's like, it's about building brand loyalty. So selling products is just, that's all it is. So you're building relationships with your customers, and they shouldn't be, I think if you look at them as customers, that's where you go wrong a little bit. Like, it's more of a relationship. I think if you look at it like that, you're going to see your audience grow in like a way that, you know, you couldn't even picture, because you're getting to know these people, right? Like, it's more of a, I don't know. And I think that's why some authors really like the in-person events, like the book tour and stuff, because you have a room full of people, the energy is there, they're getting to know your background, and they're like, because you think about something like Leonardo DiCaprio, as if you like him, you're going to go see a movie that has Leo DiCaprio in it. It doesn't matter if it's got like terrible reviews, which you hope you never have a book that has terrible reviews, but it's all about that brand loyalty where you're just like, I know this person's talented. I'm going to buy their books no matter what. So I definitely would say that's true.
I don't know why you were talking. For some reason, YouTube just popped in my head. I mean, because I'm thinking, if you're building a relationship with your audience, probably a really great way to build that relationship is just to like do some behind the scenes footage of like, you know, a typical day in your life or whatever. Is YouTube, does that play a big role?
Oh yeah. And I love this conversation because I have been a YouTube junkie for like my whole life. I think it's awesome. It's just fantastic. There's so many creative people doing awesome stuff on YouTube.
Yes.
It's just like, I don't know. I love it. And I actually have one author right now, and she wrote a memoir just on, she's kind of like a self-care speaker and stuff like that. And so she's kind of used her brand in video format. So it's like, she'll do a lot of behind the scenes stuff on Instagram Live. She has a live series every Friday. She like, you know, stuff like that where you can see her face.
Yes.
And tying something like that into YouTube, you know, YouTube is the second largest
search engine. Yes. I just learned that recently.
Yeah. It's crazy, right? It's like, it's so cool that video has, I mean, because it really does give you a glimpse into someone else's expertise in a way that feels really personal. Whereas I think if you're, you know, going back to like posting a Facebook thing without doing anything else, like if you're just posting like, okay, this, I like this quote, that's it. Cool. That's awesome. Great. If you're like on a YouTube video and you're like, yeah, I just saw this really cool quote and I had to share it with you guys. This is my reaction to it. It's like, then you're going to have people saying, well, this is my reaction to it. Let's talk about that. I think YouTube is just a really great tool for encouraging engagement and feedback. I think with that, it's like, if you tie that up with having it be the second largest search engine, it's like, why aren't you on YouTube? It's just like, I think, but I mean, I would say stuff like podcasts too are really great ways to kind of give you, because I can even tell by talking to you, it's just like you have very, like, you're easy to talk to. You've got a great personality. You're like fun, and it's like that helps people get to know you. And I think having that kind of, you know, that extra part of your writing business, like in whatever it is, whether it's your YouTube channel, Instagram Live series, podcast, you name it, it's just a great way to give folks kind of a behind the scenes look.
Is that, because I can imagine it can be hard for writers to do like the video stuff and the live stuff, because I think, I mean, I don't know if this is stereotypical, but I think a lot of writers are just, they'd rather not be in front of a camera. They just want to, you know, stay in their little corner and write. And you know, do you run into that?
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, I've had to like give pep talks to some, I'm like, especially last year, all the festivals went virtual. So when I was submitting like festival pitches and stuff, like I was like, send me a video of you reading. Like, and they're like, I don't want to do this. And I had one go, do I have to order a tripod or anything? I don't want to. And I was just like, just have your husband take it for you. It's fine. Like,
yeah,
we just want to see you in action, basically. But yeah, no, I would say about 70% of my clients right now would say no way.
Wow, 70%. Wow.
And then I have, you know, it just depends on what kind of person you are. So the person I was just talking about, she is like a great speaker. She's spoken at universities. Like, she's part of her brand is speaking. So like she's a writer, but she's also a speaker. So she's all for it. She's the one that hosts that show. So she's like, yeah, let's do it. She's up for whatever. I have a photographer who's also up for whatever. He's just like, yeah, it's fine. He's taking videos on his shoots out in the woods. And he's just like, I'm out here in Maine right now. Like, he's great. You tell him to do something. He's doing it. But you know, and there's people who are pushing back and saying, well, I just don't want to do this. So it's just, yeah, it's, you know.
Yeah. I can imagine. That's where your psychology comes in, right? Your psychology degree.
Do this.
Yes. Okay. So Hannah, I can't believe what time is it? I feel like I always do this where I feel like I can keep talking. Okay. We're about 30 minutes. This is not too bad. I kind of want to talk a little bit about, you mentioned you've read some really bad PR or how do you call those releases? Press releases?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So for people that are interested in going into your line of work as a PR specialist, what are some tips you can give as far as writing these press releases?
This is another thing I could talk about forever. I would say the number one thing, and this, I think a lot of PR is just research. And that kind of goes back to like what I was saying with Facebook, any kind of marketing PR, you've got to research what you're doing. So having said that, you know, I think like, and I'll give you an example of just a really bad pitch. So if I was to, let's say I had an author, right? I'm just going to give an example here. So let's say I had an author and they wrote a book about bears. Mm-hmm. I don't know why. Okay. I thought they were really good. And they're like, oh, I'm a publicist representing that book. And I'm saying, okay, I'm going to pitch this book on bears, this cosmetic magazine. That doesn't make sense, right? Why would I do that? People do this. Oh, and I'm going to write a pitch that says, hey, dear sir, I have a book. Can you please feature this? Thank you. I've seen this kind of pitch. Mm-hmm. The person's literally going to go, I hate you. No, I'm not putting, I write about lipstick. Like, no, right. I'm not going to put yourself on bears. So, okay, it's like regroup. The way you'd actually do something like that is like, okay, who's writing about bears? And I'm not even talking about just, you know, like, what's the publication name? Who's the writer? I do a lot of, because I would always recommend reaching out to the writer first, or the podcast host, or, you know, the radio host, TV special host, stuff like that. I don't usually, unless I absolutely have to, reach out to like a general, like, contact submission forms. Like, so don't do that if you can help it. Find journalists, find hosts, find people who are actually writing about your subject matter or talking about it. Like, look at National Geographic, or look at, you know, there's tons of stuff, like, you know, people that are smaller publications, whatever it is, that are covering bears. Go to the Western North Carolina, like, stuff, you know, stuff like that. I think the biggest thing, you get a lot of pitches that are not researched. They're not personal. Use the writer's name, the person's name there, like, dear Kim or dear Ebony, you know, who want to, it's just be really personal about it, because if you're not, they're going to get offended. You know, it's just like, and I try to be really conversational because I'm that way anyway. Like, I just want to be your friend. Like, I'm going to send you something. And so I want to, I mean, really it should be a relationship where you're helping each other out. Like, you don't want to, like, sometimes I'll even send messages. I just sent one like this yesterday where I was like, I have a few writers that I think would be a good fit for your show. Are you interested? And I don't even send anything else after that, because I'll send just what they're about, but not anything super crazy, because it's like, you also just want to be efficient with your time. So I guess to narrow it down, it's like, if someone was looking at getting into this field, or if you want to be pitching work, or if you're an author wanting to pitch your work, I would say the big things are doing the research, find the people that are right for what you're selling. make sure the pitch is short and sweet. Don't get to offer the subjects that they could speak about. What can you talk about? Like, this is, and you know, for you, you probably have some great advice on that too, just being a podcast host, because you know the pitches that you like. I'm sure you've gotten some bad ones too.
Oh, yes.
Where it's just like, can I be on your show, calling you like Annie or something? It's like, no, my name's not Annie. Like, no, you can't be on my show. Like,
oh my gosh, yes. I get, it's just every, so like every day I get at least one like that. Like, can I be on your show? Or they'll call me, my website is zayzo.com. Yeah. They'll call me Zayzo. Hi, Zayzo. Or
like, that's
my name.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can tell like who's actually read, because a lot of my guests come from this site called Matchmaker, where it matches you with the, you know, podcast hosts with different people, guests. And so I can tell who's actually read my profile and who hasn't. Right? Because in my profile, I say specifically, please give me some talking points that you can cover. I'm very specific, and most people don't. They're just like, are you interested in having me as a guest? Let me know. Right? Or, you know, so it does. It makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's frustrating. And I mean, I can imagine, I actually have a podcast client that I do PR for out in Charlotte, and it's like, I know people are just constantly submitting. And it's like, are you really, do you know what you're submitting to though? It's just,
Yeah. I actually recently, this was like one of my favorite guests because he really did his research. He looked through, or he watched like a whole bunch of my podcast episodes, and he told me what I did. I mean, he knew my episodes better than I did. He was like, yeah, first you do this and then you do this. I said, oh my gosh, you did your homework.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then I felt like bad. I was like, shoot, I should have did more research on him. Gosh, but it was just so wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gosh.
I love that.
Yes. It just makes a huge difference, right? Because it seems like that person really cares, and it's not just...
Yeah. Well, I think that's the thing. It's like, you want to value the work. I mean, from both ends of it, it's just like, I mean, you want the client or the person you're interviewing plus the actual host to value everything. It's like, it has to be this kind of like, I don't know, interchangeable, or like not interchangeable, but interchangeable relationship like that, which is hard. It's like, and I think there's just maybe, I don't know why people do think though that they can just be like, can I come on the show? And then you're
right. I don't know why either. That I'm baffled by that, but you know, they'll learn.
Maybe right? They'll learn today.
Yes. Yeah, or they after, you know, maybe 20 people have not replied to them, they'll maybe start to get the, like, maybe I'm not something.
Yeah, maybe you're not doing this quite right.
Yes.
My dog's in the background agreeing right now.
Well, that's great, because I think that he's maybe he's telling me to wrap it up. So, Anna, tell us, because I really love this conversation. I feel like anyone listening to this, they're going to want to learn more about you. Like, where can we find you online?
My website I use primarily for my blog and any kind of updates I always post on there, spellboundpublicrelations.com. I'm on Twitter. I don't post too much. I just research a lot, but you can always reach me on there too at Wiz Turner PR. So that is the social media platform of my choice.
Okay. And I'm going to give you this opportunity. If you have any like last words of wisdom or encouragement for artists who are trying to get their name and their work out there, what can you say to them?
I think the biggest thing, you can do it. And that sounds super cheesy and generic, but I think a lot of people they have these stories inside of them. They're like, I can't do this. I don't have the time, or I don't have the resources or the budget or whatever it is. You can do anything. I think if there's anything I've learned in my career, it's that you can do anything I think like now I don't really ever have a moment where I'm like, I can't do this, because I know I can. And I think for writers or artists or anything, that if you're trying to create something, you just have to do it and figure it out, because no one really knows what they're doing. Right. So it's just write the book that you have in your brain and in your heart. And I think that's the best thing you can do, because if it's something that you're passionate about, everyone else will be passionate about it too. It's just about that kind of like domino effect. You want, it's like a shine almost. Like once you have it out there and you feel great about it, it's not too hard to pass that energy on. So I think like, yeah, like I said, it sounds cheesy, but just do it. I'm gonna copy Nike right now.
I think that's great advice. Yeah, just do it. Yeah.
Just like set. And I think something that's also kind of good is if you set aside like 15 minutes a day to write or to paint or anything, because like I'm copying all these people, but it's just things that I've found helpful. Like Lady Gaga, it's like she said one time, she goes, if you don't think you can do something, just do a little bit. Just do a little bit, you know? And I think like I've heard several of my writers or fellow panelists on different events say that. It's just like, just write for 15 minutes a day. Yeah. 15 minutes a day, like just do a little bit. So right. I think just a little bit. I think that's kind of something else that I think it's cool.
2 minutes a day, Atomic Habits. I always talk about this book with most of my guests. And he's like, start with 2 minutes a day, right?
Yeah. A little bit, just do something little. Like, I mean, you know, even if you're having, cause like when you have a bad day or something like that, like I've been there where it's just like, I feel like I'm getting a lot of no's or no one's responding to my emails or my calls or anything. It's like, just do a little bit and then just regroup. It'll be okay. Yeah. You know?
I love that. Thank you so much, Hannah. I'm going to stop recording, but I'm just going to chat with you for a moment.
Okay. Yeah.
Isn't Hannah so much fun and very well-versed in the world of publishing, obviously, because that's her jam. So if you'd like to work with Hannah or learn more about her, please contact her, visit her website. Her website, it's in the show notes, spellboundpublicrelations.com. And yeah, reach out to her. And especially if you are an author who needs some help with your marketing. In the meantime, also visit zayzo.com and you can sign up for my newsletter. You can follow me on social media. I'm on Twitter at Ebony Haywood. You can follow me on Facebook and Instagram at Motivation to Write. And I am looking forward to seeing you next time when I talk to another fabulous guest. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.